Welcome to the AMC Stock Story Podcast. I'm your host, Russell Corey, and this is not financial advice, and I am not a financial advisor. This is solely for entertainment purposes as I talk about my experiences of investing in AMC stock and becoming an AMC ape.
Episode 60, The Claw Scam. Okay, so I got to admit, I got played tonight. It's Friday night. And I was trying to think of a title for this episode. And, you know, one of the things I want to avoid is I don't really want, like, clickbait titles where, you know, I'm going to put a title up there that, like, oh, I got AMC scammed or I got scammed or something. And you think it's about AMC or maybe even crypto now with SHIB. And then you start listening to it and it's something completely different or it's kind of a joke. And I didn't want to do a title like that. So I was trying to think of what to call it. So I came up with the claw scam. And the claw scam, you know, those games where you put, you know, they have the kids game where they have the prizes and there's a claw and you position it and you push the button and it goes down, it tries to grab the prize, and if it gets to the, you know, if it pulls it up and drops it in the slot, then you win the prize. If it falls off, then you don't. Okay. So let me tell you the story. It's we're dropping our two children off at school today. Now, our son, he has some focus issues, so we work with him and his teachers, and he has, like, a checklist, and throughout the day, if he gets, you know, they'll tell him, like, you're going to, you know, if he wants to get a check, he's got to try hard, and he's got to focus, and if he doesn't, then he's not going to get a check. Now, as part of a reward structure, every once in a while, we'll say, well, look, if you get this many checks today, you know, we'll do something nice, and one of the things last week we went to was this place called Langer's here in Oregon, and it's kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese, just Dave and Buster's place for kids, and they have all the games, and they win tickets, and at the end of the night, they can go pick out prizes. Basically, it's a way for, you know, parents to spend $5 on a 2-cent Tootsie Roll, right? You know this scam. You know where I'm going with this, too, I bet. Okay. So we tell my son, and my daughter's in the car too, and she doesn't really have the same issues that he does. But we tell him, look, if you get this amount of scores today, if you get this many check marks, we'll go to Langer's tonight and have some fun like we did last weekend, right? So he understands this, and we let him know, like, look, this isn't about the teachers giving you the check marks, that you're making the decisions. It's not on whether they give you the score at the end of the day. It's whether you give yourself the score every moment of that day when you have a chance to pay attention and focus. We try to make that clear to him so he's not just being punished, that he's only punishing himself when he's not paying attention. So he understands what's going on. Anyway, so after school, he didn't meet his score, right? Now, my daughter, you know, she hears all this too. And at a certain point, you know, it's not fair to her that she's, you know, if we go, then she gets rewarded. But if he doesn't live up to his, you know, expectation, she doesn't get the reward, and it's sort of like she's getting punished too. So I talked to my wife and I said, look, let's take our daughter, and my son can stay home and finish his homework and explain to him why he didn't get to go tonight, right? So he knows there's really is a consequence, that if he doesn't live up to it, you know, his sister's going to get to do something that he doesn't get to do necessarily. So my wife stayed home with my son to do the homework. And I took my daughter to this Langer's place. Now, I've mentioned this before. I have an addictive personality, that when I get going on something, I get tunnel vision, and it's something I have to be careful with, right? So as I'm approaching this Langer's, I always get the same feeling when I approach this place. It's a big, huge building, okay? So it looks like a casino, you know. It's big. It's a massive building. And inside, it's a big open area, and they have all the games. And it is kind of like the junior version of Vegas, when you think about it. It really is. And a lot of people have complained about this, that it's sort of, you know, training these kids to be gamblers, right? And I think they might have a point on that. But at any rate, I digress. So my daughter liked playing this game where the thing goes around and you can pick up some candy and So basically, it's one of these deals, you know, for $2, you can win 15 cents worth of candy, right? So great. It works out great for them. But you know what? You can actually get the candy on this game. However, tonight, when we played it last week, it was stocked pretty well. So every time you did it, the scoop usually picked up some candy and it would like fall off the shelf and into their little slot. And these kids were so happy and they got candy. And I would say at least half the time, if not more, we always got candy and they were happy, right? And it was fun. It was fun to watch them go crazy and we had a good time. Well, tonight it wasn't stocked very well. So a lot of times I would swipe my thing and the thing wouldn't even pick up any candy. It would like try to pick it up and it would miss it. And it would get very frustrating. And I found myself, you know, wanting to impress my daughter, wanting her to have that fun, but also getting in that mentality of, you know, I can do this, I can do this. And I would keep swiping the card. Now, the other genius thing they do, if you, and casinos do this too, if you actually had to put the money in, right? If you actually had to put the money in and you saw how much physically money you were handing over to this machine to buy 2 cents, you know, to get 2 cents worth of candy, you would stop doing it. But because it's on one of these cards and you swipe card, you don't really see it, right? And same thing with casinos. If you have those tickets instead of cash, you put your ticket in there, or you know, you take your ticket out and you go to another machine, you put it in. It once you take that step away from actually, you know, handing over cash to someone, sometimes it can be a little easier handing it over. So anyway, I kept swiping, trying to win this candy, and just couldn't do it. And it was hard to pull away. Part of that addictive personality. But we pulled away from that. And we went to another candy grab game. And that one was a little bit better. But even that wasn't stocked very well. But she did. She won a couple pieces of candy. So then here's where the story gets bad. We go over, she wants to go to play one of these prizes where you can win like a little stuffy, right? And whenever my kids want to play these things, I say, no, these are rigged. For what we would, you know, spend trying to win you one, we could go to the store and buy you one for much cheaper. And you know you were going to get the stuffy you wanted, right? So I never play these things. But this night, I don't know what it was, but I did. You know, maybe I just wanted to try at least once and see how it went. And, you know, the thing that was really, I almost wanted to write a letter to this company and say, come on, this is really bad. So it basically, this claw was set up so you could grab it, right? But as soon as it moved, the stuffed animal would just fall straight down, right? I mean, it was like a total scam that you'd literally pick it up. It would pick it up, but as soon as it took one, you know, slight move over to the slot to drop the prize in, the toy would always fall out. Every time I did it, and I did it a lot, it always happened, and I just kept doing it. I kept doing it, and I just could not pull myself away from playing this game. Even though I knew it was a scam, even though I knew it, I'd still kept doing it. And finally, I gave up. There was one that had a ball, a little bouncing ball. And on that one, I actually, first time, I won. But the trick with that one is it drops the ball, and because the area is kind of small, the ball usually bounces away. Once it lets go, the ball will usually, you know, it's kind of like the if you're playing basketball and you shoot the ball and it goes in and out. It's kind of like one of those deals. However, this time the ball did go in. So she won her little ball, right? So now I'm feeling good. I won her a little ball. She had some candy. But I, you know, I still kept going back to these other claw machines and trying to do it. And I spent a lot of money trying to win these things. And it's because I was hooked. And the other interesting thing about this was I was watching one of the YouTubers, and they were focusing on a tweet that someone had written about, you know, this gambling. Forgive me, I don't know. I can't get into the specifics with it. I forgot it. But the basic gist of it was there's a mental flaw with gamblers sometimes when they're on a bad losing streak, right? They think, if I just keep gambling, I'll make it back. My luck will turn around and I'll break even, right? I can't be this bad. I can't keep losing forever, right? Something will happen. And basically he was saying that's what the hedge funds were doing right now with AMC. They got into a losing situation, And the only choice they had was to just keep playing and making it worse and making it worse, trying to, you know, dig their way back out. And every once in a while, yeah, they would make maybe, a few hundred million dollars back, but they were still down, $6 billion or whatever it was. That the hole they were in is so deep that it's not likely that they're going to dig their way out. But they keep trying. What other choice do they have? I mean, think about if you're, if you have someone surrounded, right? And you have them surrounded, they cannot get out. They're trapped, but they're not giving up, and you can't force them out. They have to either come out on their own, or something else might have to force them out. So maybe someone throws in a smoke grenade, or the house catches on fire, and they have to get out at that point, right? So right now, these hedge funds are trapped, and if they wanted to come out on their own, they could. That's maybe what happened. We've seen that a few times when the stock runs up. Maybe that was one hedge fund trying to come out, right? But unless they do it en masse, it's not going to happen. Now, if there's a stock market crash and all the value of their stock holdings goes down and they no longer have the collateral to hold their AMC position, they could get margin called, and that could cause the MOAS, right? And that would be like you have someone surrounded in a building and the building catches fire and they have to get out of the building or they're going to burn to death, right? But we just have them surrounded. But it made me think of this game too. So, who's really playing the claw game? Is it the hedge funds trying to get us to, shake us off and delay this, hoping that we'll give up and we'll quit? And they keep playing the claw game and the prize keeps slipping out because we keep holding, right? The apes are down there holding on and they try to keep putting the claw down and taking us out. And it's like, nope, we're staying. You can't win. Or the other way to look at it in with the claw game is that we're playing the claw game, and some claw games I think are fairly ethical. And the way I say that is, they put a prize in there that's pretty cheap, right? Like, let's say they put in like a 10-cent rubber duck, right? That might cost them 10 cents, right? Little cheap little rubber duck, right? But you get to play the claw game until you win a prize, right? So you can play up to 10 times, and until you win the prize, the game keeps going. You can keep doing the claw as much as you want, right? But it's like, hey, you pay $2 to buy a 10-cent rubber duck, right? And that's the way the game's set up. And I'm actually okay with that. I think that's fine. As long as you get the prize, then great. You're overpaying for it, but you're going to get it. I think the way this other game was set up, where as soon as the hook starts to move, the thing falls out, that's just terrible. And then you get some idiot like me that gets hooked in trying to impress his kid. And I don't think it's very ethical at all. But regardless, I think what we're doing with AMC is we're playing that guaranteed a prize game. Now, there are no guarantees in the stock market, right? We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know if we really are going to hold to the end. Maybe they do delay it and everybody moves on and gets distracted and they quit. Or maybe when the MOAS happens, everybody sells at $100 or $200 and that's it. That's as high as it gets, right? We don't know that. There are no guarantees, but we do know if they do kind of follow the rules, and we know that's a little iffy with them sometimes, but they've made these short bets. They have to cover their shorts eventually. They either keep paying for them to keep their position, or they get margin called by their financial backers. And if they can survive that margin call, then they can keep going. But at a certain point in time, if they can't afford to keep their position, or they get margin called, or they just do the math in their head and they say, well, this is it. Let's just get out now. Let's be first and let's get this done, right? Then you should be able to get that prize. That when we're playing AMC, I know it's frustrating every time we try to win, grab it, the price goes up, price goes down, or just stays in the mid-30s, high-30s. And that can be frustrating, but eventually they'll have to cover these shorts. I don't know when that will be, and I don't know if there'll be anything that happens to screw with us, right? I cannot guarantee that, and it wouldn't surprise me if that does happen, But theoretically, we should be able to play this game until we get our prize. What that's that going to be, I don't know. You know, AMC could go to, you know, peak at $200 before everybody sells and this whole thing collapses. Could be $200,000 a share, right? And it collapses the world economy. Great. You know, you're a you know, billionaire, but a loaf of bread, like they say, loaf of bread costs $500 now, you know, and everybody hates you because they blame you for collapsing the economy. So I don't know what scenario is going to be, right? But I just know playing this claw game was very frustrating. And it, and just something to keep in mind that I talked about, you know, have your plan for what you want to do and try to stick to your plan. If you believe in your plan, right, it may not be perfect. Maybe you could make more money if you changed your plan. But if you keep questioning it, talk to other people that you trust about it and see what they think. And if you put it to the test and say, you know what, maybe I could make more money. Maybe I could make less money, but I like this plan. And if I stick to it, this is going to meet my financial goals and my hopes. And then when this happens, if you can stick to your plan and get kind of what you need or close to it, then at the end of the day, you know, you can feel good about that. If you go into this and you're not sure what you're going to do and this starts happening and you don't know, well, should I sell now? Should I wait till it peaks? Is it peaking now? Should I wait till it's going down? Well, I don't know what's going down, but I don't know if that's a dip or this thing is over, right? All these things could happen. And as long as you have some kind of idea what you want to do, then, you know, hopefully you're going to be okay. Because even with me, I knew these claw games were scams that it's not worth, you know, going into. But I fell into it. You know, first of all, I wasn't putting real money into it, right? I was putting card swipes. And I knew that was bad. And even then, I should have known that doesn't work. And then I just got, it became emotional for me. Like, I wanted to impress my daughter. I had my daughter there and I wanted to do it. And then even then I knew this was rigged, right? And even though I knew it was rigged, I still wanted to beat it. I still wanted to beat this rigged game. And that's, you know, that's scary when you get into that situation and you lose your senses. It becomes emotional. And you know, for you, like, just say, for example, I'm not saying this. Look, I'm all for standing up to these hedge funds and having a fair and you know, market, stock market. But if your idea is, well, I'm going to stick it to these hedge funds and I'm going to get them at the end, I'm going to be angry at them, and I'm going to hold till, you know, $500,000, right? And in reality, hey, this thing peaks at 5,000, and 5,000 comes and goes, and you missed your chance to sell on that because you thought you were going to go, you know, prove it, you know, show these hedge funds. Or maybe you thought this is my chance to be a billionaire. And maybe that wasn't a realistic explanation for what, you know, whatever reason. And you know, you lose it. But just, you know, try to keep your wits about you or have that plan, because we all are susceptible to those moments of just not thinking right. That's what happens with road rage. You know, we're all rational, civil people, right? But when you're on the road and something happens, there's a chemical change that can happen within you that you go into a fight or flight mode. And then when you make these decisions, sometimes you can make a really bad decision. Someone cuts you off, you honk at the horn, or you want to flip them the bird, and now you're engaged, you know, in a conflict with, you know, a complete stranger, and you don't know who that stranger is. Is that a soccer mom on her way to a game? Or is that, you know, a criminal who's got a handgun and he's having a real bad day? And guess what? He's going to, you know, take his gun out to, you know, scare you or maybe even shoot you. You don't know who you just got into a conflict with, and you don't know what's going on with their day, but you trigger that response in yourself, and then you trigger it in the other person, and it can escalate, and all of a sudden something that was so stupid or so meaningless could cause you damage to your car. It could be criminal. But that's what happens chemically, that happens to us. So when this MOAS happens, you know, be aware that you know what frame of mind you're going to be in when it does happen. And just you know, I don't know, like I said, have a plan, have your plan that you feel good about, and do the best you can. It may not meet your expectations or it may need to change, but at least have something that you can try to go off of, because I tell you what, I got played tonight. I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but it certainly happened. It's funny. I think about what I spent tonight, you know, having fun with my daughter. And I'm like, oh, that could have been a share or something, or I could have put that into SHIB and what that would have, you know, meant in crypto or something, investing in that, you know, 5 years from now, as opposed to what I did that night. But here's the more important thing, right? This was supposed to be time with me and my daughter. And here I was trying to win these stupid, you know, cheap prizes. I could have taken her to Target and bought her, you know, a $5, $10 toy, and that would have been cheaper than, you know, playing these games, right? And maybe less frustrating. But it was kind of an ego thing, and I wanted to impress her. But, you know, she was showing me the games that she wanted to play, and then at a certain point, she wanted to play air hockey. That was the game she wanted to play. Now, there's no prizes in air hockey, right? You're just playing the game, and when it's over, it's over. There is nothing. And a lot of the video games, you know, same thing. I think you can win some tickets on them or something, but there isn't a physical prize that you get at that point when you play. Maybe later at the end of the night, you can cash it in. But my point is this. Playing air hockey with her, that's what she wanted to do, and we had a good time playing. You know, I let her win, you know, a couple. She got to score on me, and I scored on her, and we had a good time playing that game. But there was no prizes involved, and really, that's what she really wanted. And she even said that to me. She's like, you know, I didn't want a prize. I really just wanted to spend time with you. So think about that, too. As far as, you know, money goes and what's really important in life. And it really is, you know, these moments that we can spend with people we love, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends. And hopefully when the MOAS happens, it'll give you an opportunity to do more of that. That hopefully this will be a good thing in your life and not a bad thing. But anyway, so that was that. Beware of the claw. That's all I can say. And I'm not sure who's playing the claw game, whether us or the hedgies or maybe a little bit of both. Learn from my mistakes. The other thing I want to talk about, I'll do a quick SHIB update. So when I initially got into SHIB, it was about, I think, like 22, right? And then, it had a, you know, massive climb. And as it was climbing, you know, it got to like 33. And that's, you know, when my wife was like, you know, you should buy more. And I was like, no. It's sort of at the top right now. We shouldn't buy right now because it's near its all-time high. And it crashed when it hit its all-time high last time. So I'm thinking it's going to crash again. But again, I thought about Facebook, and my wife told me to buy more Facebook, and I didn't, and I regretted it. So I said, all right, she's telling me to buy more, I'll buy more. So I bought it, and we're going out to dinner. So it was kind of a rushed decision to just buy it then, because I don't know, is it going to go from 33 to 66 that night, and we missed our chance, you know? So of course, as soon as I buy it, at the high of 30, it made it to 35 that night, and then bang, it came right back down to the, you know, low 20s, you know, 22, 24, was bouncing around there. But it stayed there. It didn't go any further down from that. It stayed at that 20, 22, 24 level. And I thought, you know, that's a decent sign of strength. Yes, it came back down from that high, but it didn't completely crater and go way past, you know, when I initially got in. So I thought, just like with AMC, you know, hey, you buy the dips. If you believe in something, buy the dips. So I bought a third time when it was fairly low still, just in case it does go back up, because we need it to go back up. But when it does go back up, now we're going to make profit on that third buy because it's lower than the 35 that we bought. And we ended up buying at that point at like 26. So now when it does go back up, I'm making profit at the and it gets into the high 20s, low 30s. Now I'm making profit at the, you know, the 22 and the 26 level. So anyway, it's been holding at this 27, 28 level, you know, for a day or so, which is good. Again, this is a long-term investment for me. But short term, it always is nice when something is profitable. But at times, it does become profitable that I've made enough money on the first and third buy that it helps make up for the losses that are still there from that second buy when I was buying it at the higher rate. So I don't know. Again, my SHIB investment is tiny compared to AMC. I haven't sold any AMC for SHIB. It's just a little side bet. I wanted to get my feet wet in crypto, and I did. And we'll see how it works out. But I don't know if you've bought any sheep or anything. But it's just kind of interesting. It's one of those things, we talked about this, that it's just like buying airplane tickets or buying stuff on the internet. You know, at a point where in the early days, people wouldn't do that. Like, why would you? How people are going to steal your credit card and they're going to, you're going to wake up and you have $50,000 in credit card charges. They still can do that. That still could happen. But I think most people are more comfortable buying something on the internet. And that's not how it was. And that we have these changes, and maybe we are at this point where in the next 10 years or so, there will be more going on with crypto and all these things. So if you can find one of these coins and get in early and you make the right, investment, that's when you see these people that bought into Bitcoin, bought into Doge or the other coins, and now, they have a lot of money. So it's a gamble. Again, don't risk anything you can't afford to lose. But it will be interesting to see where it goes. And I imagine if AMC does pop, right, you're going to have a lot of apes going to want to invest a lot of money in some of these cryptos. And that should raise, some of these crypto markets as well. So I think that's what I'm anticipating as well, that I don't want to wait till when AMC hits to buy, because at that point it might be too late. It might have already jumped. So if I have some initial buys, at least those will go up. And then I can always invest more. Well, anyway, well, have a good weekend. Beware the claw. That's all I can say. Don't get suckered by that stuff. Just go to Target and buy your kid a toy. Anyway, well, have a good weekend, and I will talk to you on the next AMC Stock Story podcast.